Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. We love guitars.
Welcome to another podcast at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation joins us. Comrade, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the weekend. It was filled with recrimination and finger pointing and my kind of circular firing squad.
I enjoyed it in the same way that you did, with the same spirit of generosity and good hope. I especially liked the evolution of Donald Trump's understanding of Paul Ryan.
That was quite fascinating, wasn't it?
Yeah. Initially, it was like, Paul Ryan is the greatest guy. He is like my best friend ever. I totally love him. I'm committed to him with everything I've got. And then I can't wait to get rid of that guy.
Well, I can't say that I've seen in the history of presidential administrations someone using Judge Jeanine Pirro on the Fox News channel as a way to get back at the Speaker of the House. That is a new one.
What was up with that? I mean, you should tell people. That was really weird.
All right, why don't we... This is poor Reince Priebus once again having to go on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. And let's give Chris Wallace some credit. He at least is halfway credible. You know?
Yeah, I actually think he does a very good job. But you see, in fairness, I mean, give him credit for sure because he does what he should do. But I think it needs to be made clear that, as best I can tell, he takes great pleasure in those visits with Reince Priebus.
Well, here it is. This is Reince Priebus on Fox News Sunday.
Yesterday morning, the president tweeted this, and I want to put it up. Watch Judge Jeanine on Fox News at 9 p.m. Now, we all love Judge Jeanine on Fox News.
I do love Judge Jeanine.
But we were curious as to why he would call her out. Here was the start of her show last night.
My opening statement. Paul Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House.
Does the president want Paul Ryan to resign as Speaker?
Well, first of all, I will go on record. We do love Judge Jeanine, and so does the president. I think it was more coincidental, Chris. I did not talk to the president about the tweet. I'm just telling you the truth. There was no pre-planning here.
The president, but why would he say watch her and then that's the first thing out of
her mouth? Because he loves Judge Jeanine and he wanted to do Judge Jeanine a favor.
So does he want Paul Ryan to step down or not?
No, he doesn't. And he's talked to Paul Ryan yesterday for about an hour. He believes what he said in the Oval Office on Friday. He doesn't blame Paul Ryan. In fact, he thought Paul Ryan worked really hard. He enjoys his relationship with Paul Ryan, thinks that Paul Ryan's a great Speaker of the House. So none of that has changed. I think this is more of a personal relationship, the president helping out a friend.
And I assume the friend was Judge Jeanine, not Paul Ryan.
Nicely said.
First of all, I would play a longer clip of Jeanine Pirro, but I simply do not want to hurt any, if you have these devices that you listen to podcasts on, I don't want you to hurt your dog's or cat's ears because
it's just unbelievable.
Beyond nauseating. Yeah.
Man, why do you, nauseating seems like such a loaded term. I would just say that someone might want to encourage her to, put about 4 inches between her mouth and the microphone. Just a little distance there, because whatever she's doing, it's the equivalent of a plane landing or something.
It's bad. It makes Vicki McKenna sound soothing, and that's not easy. That is not easy. Okay, so shortly after that happened, then this happened.
Here's what the New York Times reports today about the president's reaction to his defeat. I'm sure you've seen this morning. In a search for scapegoats, he, the president, asked his advisors repeatedly, whose fault was this? Increasingly, the blame has fallen on Reince Priebus, the White House chief of staff, who coordinated initial legislative strategy on the health care bill with Mr. Ryan. And there's a comment similar to that in the Washington Post today. So obviously people are saying it. Are you in trouble?
I'm not in any trouble. I've got a great relationship with the president. We talk all the time. In fact, just before coming on the set, he gave me a call. This is gossip hounds, and you know it's always going to happen. And I don't really care about it. I'm looking forward to accomplishing the president's agenda moving forward, and working with anybody in the legislature to make sure that that happens.
Okay, let's first.
Everything's fine, John.
I'm not in any trouble.
I'm not in any trouble.
President called me right before I went on.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Even that, I wouldn't mind a tape of that call. How about you?
Well, the truth is that this isn't Reince Priebus's fault. This is Donald Trump and Paul Ryan's fault, right?
Well, in fairness, it's Paul Ryan's fault first and foremost, but it's also the fault of anybody who trusted Paul Ryan.
Oh.
I mean, what kind of ignoramus do you have to be? I mean, how disengaged from the day-to-day reality of the world do you have to be not to know what Paul Ryan was going to do if you gave him responsibility for coming up with a health care bill? Right? He was going to give money to rich people. He was going to screw over poor people, and he was going to mess with Medicare and Medicaid. I could have told you that 10 years ago. With all due respect, I mean, it's sort of like after a certain point, you don't blame Lucy for pulling the football away.
Although it is kind of interesting that it, as mean as Paul Ryan's proposal was, it wasn't mean enough.
No,
for the Freedom Caucus. Not, I mean,
without a doubt, it was not cruel enough. And that's what I kind of really enjoy about the Freedom Caucus, because they, you know what they prove, which is fascinating? They prove what Republicans are willing to negotiate on.
Nothing.
Right? No, actually, a lot, Sly, we're off. Au contraire. It's like, we got to get a health care bill. What might we consider? I don't know. Taking away maternity coverage? Taking away rehabilitation for people that are hit by buses? You know what I mean? That's what they were proposing. It was pretty amazing when you think about it.
Here is Donald Trump, President Trump, shortly after he drew a red line in the sand and... quickly pulled back.
We were very close. It was a very, very tight margin. We had no Democrat support. We had no votes from the Democrats. They weren't going to give us a single vote, so it's a very difficult thing to do. I've been saying for the last year and a half that the best thing we can do, politically speaking, is let Obamacare explode. It is exploding right now. It's many states have big problems. Almost all states have big problems. I was in Tennessee the other day, and they've lost half of their state in terms of an insurer. They have no insurer, and that's happening to many other places. I was in Kentucky the other day, and similar things are happening. So Obamacare is exploding with no Democrat support. We couldn't quite get there. We're just a very small number of votes short in terms of getting our bill passed. And I think the losers are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, because now they own Obamacare. They own it, 100% own it. And this is not a Republican health care. This is not anything but a Democrat health care. And they have Obamacare for a little while longer until it ceases to exist.
Moving from...
So, that was his first reaction.
Yeah.
By the end of the weekend, he was blaming every right-wing special interest group in the Freedom Caucus... And he was setting up Paul Ryan. Who's left to work with?
Chuck Schumer.
No, he mentioned Chuck Schumer as being a loser in this. No.
He obviously realized that was wrong. No, I'm teasing. I look, the answer to your question was indicated or it came out today, and we have absolute clarity on it. There's not a debate about this. Did you see the announcement that Jared Kushner is being put in charge of an elite inside the White House strike force to develop what they refer to as business models, right? You know, taking the wisdom of business for how to solve these problems? I promise you that the answer to your question is that Trump is withdrawing into himself. He's withdrawing into his inner circle because he obviously knows the Democrats are against him. He doesn't trust Ryan, and that's appropriate. Trusting Ryan is a fool's mission. He knows that Mitch McConnell is just a manager. You know, he's like, Mitch McConnell's the, you know, second shift clerk at you know, the Quickie Mart, right? And he's going to make sure that the, you know, the juice boxes are put out and that the coffee machine is full and stuff like that. But he's not. There's not some kind of legislation that's going out on Mitch McConnell. And he knows that Tom Price is, you know, like, you can't really let Tom Price come up with health care policy, if you know what I mean. If you ever want to have any Republican ever elected to public office again in the history of the country. So I think what you're going to see is marginalization of Congress, marginalization of his own cabinet member, moving into an inside the White House operation where they will try and come up, I will bet you quite quickly, with a health care proposal that they will then shop around. And my gut is look for Democratic and Republican buy-in on some other model, you know, than what they've done. I don't necessarily think it's going to go forward. I think that this administration is defined by fool's mission followed by fool's mission. But I don't think there's any question that's where they're headed.
Here is Paul Ryan after the defeat of health care.
Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains today. We came really close today, but we came up short. I spoke to the president just a little while ago, and I told him that the best thing I think to do is to pull this bill, and he agreed with that decision. I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Doing big things is hard. All of us, myself included, we will need time to reflect on how we got to this moment. Moving from an opposition.
So let me ask you this. I keep hearing how close this was. If it was really that close, they've been known on the Medicare Part D. What did they hold the vote out for, 4 hours? Right? If this was really that close, like a vote or two, wouldn't they have started the roll call? I mean, Donald Trump laid the gauntlet down. I don't think this was close at all.
I don't think they ever had all the pieces together. If they were close, it was because they were simply counting the Republican caucus pretty much in, and then they would only count people out if they formally announced they weren't part of it. But I don't think that was everybody that was wavering on this thing. So I think you're right. But one thing I'll add to your thought here, if it was really close, if they were, you know, kind of on the margins, might be able to pull it off, don't you think you kind of would have just, you know, kind of kicked in over the weekend? I don't love it, but I work sometimes on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you do too. And here's the interesting thing. What fascinated me in the whole storyline of all of this was not the decision to withdraw it, not all the news associated with that, but Trump's schedule for the weekend. He had nothing on his schedule. He didn't.
No. He went to a golf course. He went to a country club that he owns near Washington, D.C. in Virginia.
Yeah, but yes, I recognize that golfing is always a part of this. But
John, you gotta have your priority.
I totally do. But you realize that amidst the golf, I mean, he could have even taken people golfing with him. But he had a whole weekend set aside. Why would you cancel something on Friday afternoon? Why not say, yeah, we're going for it. You know, we're going to keep working it over the weekend. It's going to be intense, blah, blah, blah. I think that when they decided to withdraw it, you know, he had given up on the concept of working with the people he was working with. I think he'd lost confidence in them. And here's the other interesting thing about it. Do you know how easy it would have been for Donald Trump to put together a successful health care reform? I mean, I just want to tell you, and it's after the fact, so we can explain how easy it would have been. If he had simply sent Priebus, who basically used to live in this place anyway, if he had simply sent Priebus over to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and, some of the other manufacturers groups, got them together, literally, like, could have done it in December, said, hey, guys, come up with a healthcare reform plan that you think is good. Don't be too crazy, but make it very, very good for American businesses that employ people. Definitely do cuts. Definitely, you can be harsh and unpleasant, but at the end of the day, make it something functional. Then we're going to put that forward as Donald Trump's job creation healthcare reform bill, right? We're going to go to the Republicans in Congress, say, if you don't back this, it gets draconian, whatever. But this will be our initiative. We're also even going to look to chip off some Democrats because we'll get like the coal industry on board. We'll get some other folks, blah, blah, blah. If they had done that, Sly, I think they could have passed a moderate, very unpleasant to my view, but a moderate, relatively moderate healthcare reform that did a lot of the things they wanted to do, snuck in a lot of their grifter crooked stuff, like selling insurance policies across state lines, things like that. And I think they could have done it. I don't think it would have been that hard. These guys literally snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
John Nichols from the Capital Times with us at SliceOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
All right, Brother Nichols. So forward for the Democrats, how they move forward. And I heard a lot of comments over the weekend that say, we shouldn't be dancing. We shouldn't be celebrating too much. We need to offer an alternative. This is Michael Moore on Friday night on MSNBC.
First of all, we need to really make sure, because this happened very fast in the last 24 hours, Trump and Speaker Ryan changed the bill in the 11th hour to try and get more of the Tea Party Republicans to vote for it. They made the bill meaner. In the last day here, the vote that was actually going to be taken was going to be taken on a bill that said that insurance companies are no longer required. And that means not just Obamacare now. That means everybody watching this. All insurance companies were now, there it is on the screen. We're not going to have to provide these services, even for people who have health insurance. So no outpatient care, no emergency, no ER visits. No, don't get pregnant. We're not covering that. We don't have to by law anymore to have to cover any of these 10 things. They put this in the bill to sweeten it for the hateful Tea Party people. And they still couldn't get enough Republicans, even by saying, we'll cut out the ER visits. We'll cut out the maternity and the pediatric stuff. How about that? No, we won't vote for it. So please understand that the Republicans, and especially I'm talking now to the people in Michigan who voted for Trump, especially those of you who voted for Obama, and then changed and voted for Trump, these people are out to make your lives a living hell. And they tried to do it in the last 24 hours in a way that hasn't really been reported on much, but you should go online and look this up of what they really were going to vote on today. And they couldn't even get enough Republicans to vote for this hateful, mean-spirited bill. So now the resistance has to step forward. We need to do two things, Chris. Number one, we need to push for single-payer insurance, Medicare for all, the kind that Canadians have, the kind that every other civilized democracy on the planet has. We have to push for this because we do need to fix these parts of Obamacare that did cost us votes in November. This has to be fixed. Do not sit around and say, oh, we've got our Obamacare. We don't have to. Democrats, you have to get this fixed. But the people who are watching, the people who are members of the resistance, and that we're talking tens of millions of people now, we have to shift part of our focus away from Congress, who we have been barraging for the last 2 months with phone calls, visits, letters. We have to go after the insurance companies because these private profit-making insurance companies are going to do everything in their power to do what Trump said that's going to happen. They're going to try to explode or implode Obamacare.
Your thoughts on his comments?
Look, he put a lot on the table there. But
he always does.
But here's the bottom line. First off, I think it's great to gloat, right? I definitely think that the weekend belonged to Democrats, progressives, people who are resisting. They needed to pause and celebrate because it's in celebrating that you sort of lock in the understanding that you can actually beat these guys. And remember, Trump has been beaten. His national security advisor had to quit. His attorney general had to recuse himself from investigations.
Yeah, the travel bans.
Travel bans, really overthrown by the people and then the courts. His labor secretary pick, one of the worst picks ever for labor secretary, had to withdraw. So, I mean, it's good to pause and celebrate. But now that it is Monday, it is important to understand that the reason these guys lost is because they were inept and lazy and they didn't think much about what they were doing. If they are at all chastened by this defeat, and if, as I suggested before, Trump is going to kind of withdraw into his own operation, empower Kushner and others to kind of develop plans, to essentially set up a White House policy shop that begins to develop legislation, and if he starts to build out the right relationships with some of the different groupings in Congress, and that will be hard, but if he does, you can't rule out that they don't come back in some very draconian way. And also, here's the thing that I think a lot of people are missing. They say they want to go to tax reform. You can't really do tax reform without, doing a radical rework of the healthcare policy. But you could mingle those two together. And what does Scott Walker do in Wisconsin? Scott Walker, have you ever tried to figure out what Scott Walker does for the year and a half when he isn't dealing with a budget?
He's scheming.
Yeah, but it's nothing, right? I mean, nothing happens except during the budget process, and they put everything into the budget. And so all the policies, we may object to it, but it's reality. I do not rule out that Trump and some of these, Ryan and McConnell and some of these others, ultimately the calculus that they come to is one of kind of like shoving tons of this stuff into the budget and the tax reform. And we could still come out, we have to be on our guard every day because it could still come out very bad. Although probably by then we'll be at war in Syria, so we'll have another focus.
Here is, before we wrap things up today, a story that ran about a week ago on ABC.
The graphic pictures tonight show what critics believe is the latest example of the long arm of Vladimir Putin. Police surround the body of a former member of the Russian parliament, Denis Varenikov, shot dead this morning on the streets of the capital city, Kiev, after defecting to Ukraine and publicly criticizing the Russian president. Just last month, Voronikov told a reporter for a TV network funded by the U.S. that he accepted his fate as a Putin critic. A Kremlin spokesman tonight denies any role in the murder, but the president of Ukraine is calling it Russian state terrorism on orders of Putin. Just 2 days ago in Moscow, another Putin critic, a Russian lawyer, Nikolai Gorokov, was thrown out of the fourth story of his apartment building and critically injured. Under the rule of Russian President Putin, more than a dozen critics have been targeted for assassinations, lawyers, businessmen, journalists. Based on his public comments, none of it has seemed to bother President Donald Trump.
Putin's a killer. A lot of killers. We got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent?
Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov told me in 2014 that critics of Putin counted on the U.S. to help them stand up to the Russian president.
Everybody who are against him must be very careful. Be afraid every minute. It's completely impossible for me.
1 year after that interview, Nemtsov was dead, shot down on a heavily guarded Moscow bridge near the Kremlin. Brian Ross, ABC News.
That wasn't flattering to Donald Trump.
It wasn't flattering to Trump, and truthfully, Putin didn't look that good.
Huh? Yeah, something about him always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Well, massive demonstrations in Russia over the weekend. Some places they cracked down, some cases they didn't. They arrested the opposition leader. This is all kind of getting onto people's radar now. It's kind of taken a while, But there's a steady drumbeat of this. At the same time, we now have Jared Kushner, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, all possibly testifying before Congress. Then we have that ridiculous Devin Nunes. You know, the whole thing is just a disaster.
It really is. And although I do enjoy that you highlighted Devin Nunes, because I think he's, you always talk about the gang that couldn't shoot straight. He's a one man unable to shoot straight operation.
There's a word you use for people like him. It's one of my favorite John Nichols words. Remember what that is?
Tragic.
Yeah.
Oh, he is a fearsome, unmitigated, total scorching tragedy. And it's painful to watch the guy because, it's clearer every day more comes out about him. What I can't figure out is why he's so kind of weirdly loyal to Trump. I mean, it's not necessary for him. No good came of running over to the White House.
Learning he went over the day before as well.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's quite a bit of evidence that he, if the Trump White House didn't give him this, right? And I'm not saying that they did. I don't know that. But if they didn't give it to him, it kind of looks like he was looking for, something he could make a claim on. Like he almost wanted to be the kid that saved Trump.
Trump has this power over people. It's amazing.
Some people.
No matter how...
Hasn't worked with me quite
yet. No, it hasn't worked with me either, but I have a feeling you're built on a little stronger foundation than the congressman from California.
Maybe.
But by the way,
it was painful to watch that guy.
This is out of the clear blue.
All right.
But I'm just going to do a mea culpa.
Okay.
I made a lot of wrong choices with politicians over the years and votes. I think I've gotten more right than wrong, but I've made a lot of mistakes. I think we all have.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
The biggest I ever made was supporting Bill Clinton over Jerry Brown for president in 1992. I watched Jerry Brown's, I bumped into it on the internet, his victory speech when he was elected governor of California in 2010. And he had his party at the Fox Theater, which is a beautiful ornate theater in downtown Oakland that he restored. He built an academy for kids that were having problems in Oakland. But, I watched him and he was on Meet the Press over the weekend. That man is a leader and so smart and has so much vision. And I don't always agree with him on every issue, but we really kind of missed an opportunity with that guy.
1,000% agree with you. And I will proudly say that I wrote a column when I was covering the 92 race. I wasn't really a columnist, but I felt it was so important. I remember I guess it was around May of 1992, when Brown's chances were done. He wasn't going to get elected, nominated or elected. I wrote a column for the Toledo Blade, who I worked for then, saying, if you want to cast a vote against corrupt, backward-looking, dysfunctional politics, vote for Jerry Brown. It may not win this time, but it is the vote that sends a message that you actually want something better.
Oh, that would make sense. Ohio's primary comes late.
Yeah, it was late. But the only reason I bring that up is not to compliment myself, because I, too, have made more than my share of mistakes. But I just felt, I've covered him really closely. I've been, around him a lot. And I just think he's amazing in his skill at taking an office, taking a situation where you are supposed to not be able to succeed, and succeeding.
Yeah, pretty sure things might look a little different today. John Nichols.
All over. Yeah.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation with us at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
We work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances, and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.